कश्चिद् भद्रेणायमयं मन आत्मनस्ते शिक्षायसीं लायते षण्मुखेन आलक्षये भवति मन्थराधिम् दूरे बन्धुं शोच सिकंशनम्ब
Dharma, in the form of a bull, asked, Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The people of the world in this age of Kali are always full of anxieties. Everyone is diseased with some kind of ailment. From the very faces of the people of this age, one can find out the index of the mind. Everyone feels the absence of his relative who is away from home. This particular symptom of the age of Kali is that no family is now blessed to live together. To earn a livelihood, the father lives at a place far away from the son, or the wife lives far away from the husband, and so on. There are sufferings from internal diseases, separation from those near and dear, and anxieties for maintaining the status quo. These are but some of the important factors which make the people of this age always unhappy. Dharma, in the form of a bull, asked, Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place? Maharaj Parikshit, as the true Vaishnava is the very conscientious servant of every living entity. The natural quality of a devotee is that that soul sees the presence of Krishna's devotee within the heart of every living being. Vijavanaya sampane brahmani gavihastini suni chai vasupake cha handita samatarshana. He sees the presence of the Lord and the part and parcel, spirit soul, within the heart of a brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, or even the dog eaters. Those who are in the most unfortunate, sinful condition of life. So therefore, such a soul is always seeking the welfare of every living being. And the Varnashram system is arranged that such personalities who are kind-hearted lovers of God in every particular varna or ashram work together for the welfare of society, especially the spiritual welfare of society.
Yad yad acharati sreshthas tad tad evetarose.
It is explained in Gita that especially the leaders of society must understand the goal of life and must be compassionate to their subjects. Now, compassion means upholding spiritual principles. Maharaj Parikshit was an unalloyed devotee of the Lord from the very time he was residing within the womb of his mother. His mother and father, Abhimanyu and Uttara, were very, very great pure devotees of the Lord. His grandfather, Arjuna, was a dear friend of the Lord. In this way, because of this atmosphere of devotion all around, naturally the child became very dear to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains in very wonderful narrations how anyone who is dear to the devotee is very, very dear to the Lord. The example of Amogha, who was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a rascal. He was an envious fool. His pleasure was to simply blaspheme the devotees. And especially, he liked to blaspheme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because of this blasphemy, he contracted cholera. But that cholera was actually the Lord's mercy upon him. It made him realize the extent of suffering that offenses create in one's life. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared there and gave him pure love of God. And he explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because of his relationship with you, because you have surrendered your life in my loving service, therefore anyone connected to you or related to you will get my special favor. The special favor immediately appeared as cholera, a terrible, deadly disease. But in the end, it culminated in pure devotional service. Similarly, Shivananda Sen, somehow he became very friendly with a dog, and because of this friendship with, he was merciful to the dog. It wasn't even a pedigree dog. It was just a stray, abandoned street dog with no proprietor, no master. But somehow or other, he made his master Shivananda Sen. And because of that relationship, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent that dog back to Vaikuntha by feeding him prasad with his own hands and personally inducing him to chant the holy names of Krishna. So anyone who is dear to a devotee becomes dear to the Lord. And this is the very substance of our Gaudiya Vaishnav system. If we somehow become dear to the Lord's dear servants, his devotee, then we naturally get the special favor of the Lord. So Maharaj Parikshit, because his parents, his grandparents, everyone were very intimate loving devotees, when Ashwatthama threw his Brahmastra to destroy the child, naturally Uttara called out to Krishna to protect her helpless child as a compassionate mother. And Krishna always hears the prayers of his devotee. That you can be assured. Krishna was within the heart, and he hears every word of every living entity. And when a devotee sincerely prays for the welfare of another, definitely Krishna will respond. So Krishna appeared, and with his transcendental opulence, he destroyed the Brahmastra and protected Parikshit. And from that very time of living within the womb of mother, Parikshit was always surrendered to the Lord with the most grateful heart, knowing that it is Krishna who has saved my life. It is Krishna who has given me my existence. And it is that beauty, that charm of Lord Krishna that is the only goal of my life. So Parikshit Maharaj later became king, but he was first a devotee, and then he accepted his role. So part of the role of the king is to protect, and part of protecting means to punish. To protect the innocent, it is mandatory to punish the intruders upon their rights. So as he is traveling through the various countries of the world, he comes upon this most wonderful scene in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma, religious principle, has taken the form of a bull. And Amba, Mother Earth, has taken the form of a cow. And the cow is in great distress. And Dharma, the bull, is inquiring from her, what is that distress? She is being inflicted by the wicked influence of Kali. Srila Prabhupada explains this word Amba, or mother. There are seven mothers, and the cow is considered one of those mothers. And when the cow is mistreated, this is the symptom of irreligion. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explained that there is a barometer which the Shastras apply to understand to what extent there was religiosity or irreligiosity. And that is how happy or how distressed the cow is. That's all. You go to any place, you see the condition of the cow, that is the condition of the religious life. If the cows are unprotected, unguarded, mistreated, and insecure, that means to that extent there is irreligion and sinful activity taking place. And to the degree the cows are happy, secure, well protected, to that degree we can understand religion is being followed. Piety, spirituality. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. Krishna himself, he descends to this world, and his eternal function, which he reveals, is Gopal, to protect the cows. And today, in this age of Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada explains that you cannot even mention the type of treatment that is being inflicted upon the cow and the bull. And today, even the political leaders, they are engaged in conspiracy of this. In fact, recently, back in the 1960s, the President of the United States, the most powerful political person in the entire planet Earth, how did he make all of his money to run for the presidency? How did he get all of his power and prestige before he came into politics?
He had a big, big ranch where he simply raised cows to kill. Millions of cows were being killed for him to make money. And that same president, that same person, when he came into the presidential office, he sent millions of young people to the battlefields of Vietnam to be killed. There isn't much difference. For political and selfish reasons, whether he's sending the cows to the slaughterhouse or the children of the nation to the slaughterhouse, it is all bloodshed, which is due to the influence of this age of Kali. But Maharaj Parikshit, he is a real president, he is a real king. If he even saw an innocent cow, even being mistreated in the slightest way, he was ready to draw his sword and kill the offender. Because the cow is the mother. Amba. Amba means mother. Srila Prabhupada explains this. Amba is also another name of Durga. Durga means the mother. The mother of this material nature is Durga. And the city of Bombay is actually originally, Prabhupada says, there's a big temple and a famous deity of Amba. And when the British, that means the mother nature, Durga. And when the British came, they didn't know how to speak Sanskrit very good. So instead of saying Amba, they said Bamba. And from Bamba came Bombay. So this city is actually named after Amba. There's a deity, Mumba. But actually Mumba is also just a colloquial way of saying Amba. And Prabhupada explains, just like the word Hindu, the Sindhu River is there between the Muslim countries and the followers of Sanatan Dharma. So the Muslims, Prabhupada said, they would pronounce S as H. That was just the way their tongues move or something. So they, instead of Sindhu, they said Hindu. So the British, instead of Amba, they said Bamba. But actually this city is named after the mother. Mother Durga, who is actually an expansion of Srimati Radharani, who appears within this material creation as the goddess in control of all material existence. So to respect and to treat properly one's mother is the most basic principle of civilization. And therefore, civilization is calculated simply on the basis of how the cow is being treated. Where there is compassion, the cow is protected. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to New Vrindavan once, there was a new cow that was born. And I'm sorry, not born, but purchased. And the farmer sold the cow to New Vrindavan, but would not sell the calf. And because of this, the cow was always in anxiety. Day and night, she was just crying in separation from her calf, because she loved her calf, just as a mother loves a child. There's no difference. If a mother gives birth to a baby, if she's a good mother, if she's a human being mother, then if the child is taken away, she will only be thinking of the separation of her child.
So this cow was simply crying and weeping and weeping and weeping day and night. And Srila Prabhupada felt such compassion. She's in separation from her calf. And Prabhupada explained, and these rascals, they are making this nonsense, demoniac propaganda that the cow has no soul. Let us kill, let us eat. There is no soul. Even in the name of religion, the perverted conception of Christianity, Islam, not in its true sense, but in its perverted, exploited sense, they say that the cow has no soul. Then why is the cow weeping and crying out for its child with such tender motherly love? And why are we so cruel? How they will fight for their life, how they will respond to love. We have seen with our own eyes, if you show a cow love, that cow becomes jubilant. If you neglect the cow becomes so despondent. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, that was his greatest joy, to see that the cows were being nicely protected. And when we would go to other places, he would so often discuss the cows of New Vrindavan. One time he was in India, I think Hyderabad, and he was saying, when the devotees at New Vrindavan call the cows, they come running jubilantly when they hear their names. Just to show how important it is to make cows happy. It was a very, very vital part of Srila Prabhupada's mission. And why? Because without this understanding of properly respecting and protecting cows, there is no question of spirituality rising within society. But in this age of Kali Yuga, the symptoms, this is one of the great symptoms, that the cow is abused. The bull is asking, Dharma is asking, Bhumi, Amba, it appears that your face has become black. And Prabhupada explains here in the purport that the face is the index of the mind. And in this age, just by looking at people's faces, you can see what sort of distress and anxiety a person is in. And why? Some of the symptoms of Kali are being described here. There are so many diseases. Srila Prabhupada explains, in this age, everyone is diseased with some kind of ailment. We see. Somebody is complaining about their backs. Somebody has some problem with their lungs. Somebody has some problem with their eyes. Everybody's in some sort of physical distress. And another symptom of the age of Kali that Prabhupada is explaining here is that families cannot live together. Therefore, there's great distress. Just like Giriraj Maharaj, you have all heard the wonderful story of when he joined the Hare Krishna movement. His mother and father, they came all the way to India. They traveled 10,000 miles just to try to somehow or other get their son back. And they were in tremendous distress, yes? But what to do? He had a higher mission in life. But their distress, because they're in separation from a devotee, every time they think of him in separation, they become purified and they come closer and closer to the spiritual world. I remember when I came to India, 1970, cannot even express the distress. My father, when he found out I was in India, he went to the Indian ambassador of America and pleaded with him,
to put out some search warrant and find me and force me to come home. Because there was one little letter, I said I was in the Himalayas. So the ambassador said, it's hard to find someone in the Himalayas, but we'll try our best. And that's how desperate he was. So when in this age of Kali, of course these are for higher purposes, but in this age of Kali, people are always separated from their loved ones. It is just the natural trend of the influence of this age, and therefore people are in such great, great distress. And to earn their livelihood, Prabhupada explains, people have to go such long distances. This age of Kali is, according to Bhagavat, an ocean of faults, an ocean of reasons to become miserable. But there is one benediction, that simply by chanting Krishna's name, like a vaccination, if we keep Krishna's name always prominent in our heart, then we can be immune to the miseries and the sufferings of this age of Kali. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to create a culture in which we could properly chant the holy names of the Lord. And like Maharaj Parikshit, he wanted to establish real dharma, Sanatan dharma. And a very vital part of this is protecting the cows. In fact, Vrindavan means basically two things: chanting Krishna's name and protecting Krishna's cows. Yes, really? What else goes on there? Everything else is just interrelated to that. Everyone in Vrindavan is either a gopa or a gopi. That means they're either ladies protecting cows or they're men protecting cows. Nobody in Vrindavan is anything but gopa or gopi. And everyone is very much happy when the cows are happy. In fact, the gopis said like this, that Govardhan Hill is the best servant of Krishna, better than us, because Govardhan Hill is giving nice fresh grasses and nice clear waters for the pleasure of the cows, and anyone who pleases the cows becomes most dear to Krishna. The cow milk is considered the highest of all foods, the purest of all foods. In fact, Srila Prabhupada told us at New Vrindavan that if you're not drinking milk every day, you will not have brain substance to understand this philosophy. But he said, not too much, or you will get jaundice. But he said we should all have some milk every day. It nourishes the brain. It makes it fit to actually understand the higher principles of spiritual life. So this was the wealth, the opulence of Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. This was their wealth. So we should understand so nicely what Krishna and his representatives have given us. They have given us a life of simple living, high thinking. Whether we're living in the city of Bombay or anywhere, we should understand these values. We should prize these values. Chanting the holy name of Krishna as the Yuga Dharma and respecting Krishna's devotees. And in this way, there is no impediment to our spiritual progress, and we could be immune from the influences of this age of Kali. Is there any questions? speak in microphone, please?
Someone who is living in the city, away from cows, farms. Mm. How can, you know, they have no association with cows or cow protection. How can they help?
You can send money to New Vrindavan.
Haribol.
Haribol. Any other questions? Yes.
In your lecture that Amogha was a very envious personality and he actually used to blaspheme the devotees. But still we see Mahaprabhu's pastime that he favored Amogha and actually gave him pure love of God. So how to understand this? Why did he do this? Because actually he was a very envious person.
Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered his life and soul the service of the Lord. Sarvabhauma was not an ordinary devotee. He had completely surrendered everything. And one who does that, anyone related to them gets the special mercy of the Lord, however demoniac they may be. Prahlad was also a very good devotee. And Hiranyakashipu was a terrible demon. Why did he get liberated? Only because of his relationship with Prahlad. Because Prahlad surrendered everything. So if you love your parents, if you love your brothers and sisters, if you love your grandfathers and grandmothers, if you love your aunties and uncles, surrender to Krishna. They will all get the special mercy of the Lord. Even if they hate you for surrendering, if you love them, you will surrender. Hiranyakashipu did not appreciate Prahlad's devotion. But Prahlad showed the ultimate love for his father by totally disobeying everything his father wanted. So Amogha had no qualification, but because he was related to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he received the special mercy of the Lord. Because Krishna always wants to please his pure devotees.
Maharaj, in the last chapter of first canto, Prabhupada is explaining that the personality of Kali within the world, then the Maharaj Parikshit strongly resisted the domination of personality of Kali in the world. The influence of age of Kali came at an opportune moment, and even a strong king like Maharaj Parikshit was induced to disregard the Brahmanical culture due to the slight provocation of hunger and thirst. So we know that pure devotee is never influenced by the age of Kali. So how is it that Maharaj Parikshit was induced by the age of Kali with a slight provocation?
It was by Krishna's arrangement. In order to bring in the age of Kali, which is a necessary part of the progression of the yuga cycle, a king like Parikshit could not be there, because where there was Parikshit, Kali had no entrance. He was so pure and so empowered. So in order to allow Kali to come in, Parikshit Maharaj had to be moved aside. And therefore, by the Yogamaya potency, Krishna allowed, he actually arranged for Maharaj Parikshit. Because Krishna is the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Why is a devotee immune from Kali? Why is a devotee on such a level? It is only because he has surrendered to Krishna and Krishna protects him. So Krishna never stopped protecting Parikshit. But he allowed him to do something he would have never done on his own. In fact, he induced him to do that. Simply so that the age of Kali could begin. But also so that Maharaj Parikshit could set the highest example of total renunciation by giving up his kingdom and surrendering to the lotus feet of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. If Maharaj Parikshit did not do that, put the dead snake as a garland around Samik Rishi, there would be no Srimad Bhagavatam. And according to the Bhagavatam itself, it says that after Krishna leaves the planet, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the literary incarnation, is that literature that gives light in this age of Kali. It is the highest, purest, most important of all scriptures. So it was Krishna's arrangement to bring about the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, at the same time to allow Kali to come. And actually to allow Kali to come is a great benediction. The great sages worship Kali Yuga, it's the best of all ages. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, the Lord comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and shows the supreme mercy, the supreme compassion, and gives everyone the chance of going back to the spiritual world through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So by Krishna inducing Maharaj Parikshit to engage in this activity, from that, Srimad Bhagavatam was brought to the world. From that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful Yuga avatar, came to the world. From that, the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord were brought to the world. So Maharaj Parikshit was simply being used in the most intimate, loving way by Krishna to show mercy to the fallen souls. Gauranga, you had a question?
In the Islam dharma, it is usually considered that pig should not be killed.
And in what?
Pigs, hogs.
Who says this?
In Islam.
Ah.
And in Vedic culture, it is considered that cows should not be killed.
Hmm.
So what does the Islam have to say about cows?
You're asking me what Islam has to say about cows.
Yeah.
According to Sanatana Dharma, no animal should be killed. No one should be killed. In fact, Maharaj Shibi was willing to give his life just to help one pigeon. So this is the high degree of compassion taught within the Vedas, that no harm or bloodshed should be caused to anyone. But of all the lower species, the cow is considered the most important, practically because she is the mother. She gives us milk. Pigs do not give us milk. Do they? Cows give milk, and that milk is the miracle food. So if we accept the milk, we're accepting her as Amba, as mother. You must respect her and honor her and protect her from mother if you're taking the service of mother from her. So yes, we should honor and respect every species of life and try to protect, but especially the mother. who's giving us the greatest service and the greatest benediction. She's nourishing us, and by drinking her milk, she's actually giving us strength as children, and she's giving us the proper nourishment for our spirituality throughout our life. So therefore, the mother is most important, the cow. And Srila Prabhupada said, there's sin in killing even an insect. We read about Vasudev, the leper. He would not even cause harm to the worms who was eating his body out. That was because he saw the presence of the soul, even in the worms. So that is the compassion of a devotee. He doesn't want any living being to be harmed. He wants to uplift everyone by somehow giving them prasad or giving them harinam. As far as why the Muslims do not eat pigs, because their conception has nothing to do with compassion. It has to do with cleanliness. If you're asking, I'll tell you, because I studied Islam. What do pigs eat? Say it in the microphone.
Stool.
And you heard the saying, you are what you eat? Because when you eat that food, through the power of digestion and various other forms of assimilation, that food nourishes the cells, and what you eat becomes your body. Yes? If you're eating prasad, your body is actually made of prasad. If you eat stool, your whole body, the whole body of a pig is just transformed stool. Huh? So when you eat a pig, you're actually eating nothing but stool in a transformed state. So it's not very clean to eat stool. So therefore they do not eat pigs, because they consider it very unclean meat, because it's nourished by stool and garbage and everything else. So there's nothing to do with compassion there. It's simply cleanliness. But the Vedic scriptures teach not to kill animals on the basis of compassion and on the basis of keeping the heart clean of cruelty. The reason is Muslims don't eat pigs, it's just to keep the body clean. So although they're the most common animal in Vrindavan these days. What do you think, Ananda Vrindavan? Of course, we don't read about them in Srimad Bhagavatam, so we'll keep it as it is. But we should be very respectful to every living entity. That is Krishna consciousness.